1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Tom Rivers. A wildfire in Louisiana prompting mandatory evacuations. It's burning in Beauregard Parish, north of Lake Charles. People are being bused to safety as fire crews fight the flames. Meantime, in the recovery effort from Maui's wildfires, there's some progress. Authorities say Maui County has just 388 people officially missing on a validated list, far less than previous numbers. County Police Chief John Pelletier pleading for concrete information.
We need your help now and each and every day, because we're only going to get through this if we're working together as one.
The current official number of dead in the wildfire remains at 115. Michigan and Ohio hard hit by severe and deadly weather, thunderstorms dropping heavy rain and flooding last night, killing at least three in the Grand Rapids area. And in both Michigan and Ohio, more than 660,000 customers without power. This is ABC News. Hollywood strikes have pushed back a major movie release date.
It's breathtaking. Dune Part 2 might be breathtaking, but we won't know this year. The film, from Warner Brothers, was supposed to be released November 3rd. But now WB says that because of the actors' strike, Dune Part 2 will be pushed until next year, March 15th. That's probably because if a strike is still going, they won't have their big-name stars like Timothée Chalamet, Zendaya, Florence Pugh, and more to promote it. But the move also takes it out of Oscars contention for this year. Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
Japan has announced plans to release wastewater from the damaged Fukushima nuclear plant into the Pacific Ocean. National Geographic's Leslie Bloom spoke to ABC's Start Here podcast.
What the Japanese government is saying is, look, we're running out of space on site. We don't have a lot of great options. And so the best option is to treat it, to try to strain out as many of the radioactive elements in it and release it into the Pacific Ocean.
I'm Tom Rivers, ABC News.
Green Bay and City Deck Landing residents, Anchor Coffee is introducing their sizzling hot sandwiches and mouthwatering options like ham and Swiss, turkey and Swiss, egg and cheese, sausage egg and cheese, and the irresistible ham egg and cheese. All for just $6 each. For something sweet, try the amazing donut kebabs for only $3. Or go for the fresh donut cups at just $3.50. And for those last minute gatherings, grab 10 pounds of bagged ice for just $3.99. Hungry yet? Anchor Coffee and City Deck. 401 North Washington Street, Suite 109.
Spin the globe and pick where you would go this summer at Ho-Chunk Gaminakusa. We'll be giving away a vacation of your dreams with our Vacation Your Way promotion.
Throughout the month of August, you can earn entries for your chance to be one of 10 lucky winners on August 26th.
With one grand prize winner receiving a travel certificate for anywhere your heart desires. Only at Ho-Chunk Gaminakusa, your place to play. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaminakusa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
Show the world that age is just a number. Ho-Chunk Gaminakusa presents the golden days for those who are 50 and wiser. Turn up your excitement, because each Tuesday from July to December, you can earn 25 same-day slot points and $10 rewards play. Redeem up to four times. The golden days await at Ho-Chunk Gaminakusa, where the only thing more exciting than your luck is the fun you'll have. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaminakusa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
Iron Buffalo Saloon in McAllville knows that 9/11 will never be forgotten. As Americans, we all came together as one. Firefighters, police, military, National Guard, and citizens of our great country all united. Let's all salute our honorable and free country as we remember those brave first responders and citizens who lost their lives to a tragic event on a date that our country will never forget. A message from Iron Buffalo Saloon in McAllville. Under new management, you can join them every Saturday and Sunday at their outdoor bar and enjoy the band.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
We're in the Civic Media Truth Booth at the Brown County Fair. We asked, and here's what you are telling us about living in the Green Bay area, attending the fair, and more.
Hi, my name is Representative Schmidt. I represent Assembly District 6. My family owns a dairy farm called Schmidt's Ponderosa, the south of Bondwell, and I'm the third generation. I farm with my parents and two other siblings. I currently take care of the dry cows and other odds and ends on the farm. That allows me to be flexible with my position in Madison. The rural folks in the rural parts of the state, they understand their natural resources and the urgency to protect them and preserve for future generations. Urban people like the rural folks because we're very warm and generous, and that's where we kind of get lost with the partisan politics. Both sides of us at the end of the day, we love the state of Wisconsin.
Thanks for sharing your story. Listen for more on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and watch for the Civic Media Truth Booth coming to your town soon.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app. Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Coming to the greater Green Bay area live from the WGBW studios at the City Deck Landing and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Thank you very much. Welcome back to Mino and the Mayor here at 97.9 FM, 1590 AM. We've got a great friend coming on in just a minute to tell us an amazing story about spending 5 months on the Appalachian Trail, which is going to be phenomenal. That's, but Jim, you got to talk about something first. What's coming up next week?
Well, that Appalachian Trail, though, that's...
Yes, this is that, best. I can't wait.
I know. We talk about bucket lists here, and yeah. You and I are going to do that because in New Year's, we're going to have it done, so we have time.
We're going to walk the Appalachian months. Trail?
No.
Oh.
No.
I'm not sharing a tent with you.
No. I wouldn't do that. Nope. I wouldn't... No.
I'm not.
I wouldn't share a hotel room.
Maybe, nope, nothing.
Maybe a two-bedroom
suite.
I'm not sure
a boat with you. I'm not sharing a lake with you.
What I'm saying is that we talked about getting a bucket list together. We should have that done.
Yeah.
We have 4 months to do it.
Okay.
And I didn't know if hiking the Appalachian Trail is on your bucket list because it's on some people's that
yes,
I know.
Yes, I know.
And that's a very cool thing. But hey, closer to home, a week from today. So the 1st, can you believe Friday, September 1st? That is the beginning of a whole new season, which is great. That's why we live here. But Mad Dog and Merrill, and these guys have been everywhere. Do you follow them?
Okay. I used to do a segment with them every week.
They are fun. They have great recipes, great spices, and they are going to be here in the studio. I guess outside the studio, we'll be talking to them.
They'll be on the sidewalk right up
on the sidewalk, so we'll be connected with them. 7 o'clock, so it's going to be 1 week and... It's 7:08
now. Exactly 1 week from right now.
Right.
We're going to be eating Mad Dog and Merrill food.
Right.
And then right afterwards, we start our health.
So it's going to be great. It's going to be a great day for us, John.
Yes.
This is like a turning point.
We're
going to honor some great, great people cooking at our studio.
We need to honor them, but we'll...
Well,
we'll honor them by eating their food.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're going to eat a lot of it.
It is.
And that's why when we went to the game last week, we were going to start our diet and we were in a skybox. And we're like, that would not be...
Right.
Appropriate not to eat all
right.
the food. So
it's
we
rude.
Cheese. I know. That would have been downright rude not to eat those cheese curds and broth.
That's why I ate those three hot dogs yesterday.
Right.
You're
honoring the school district, and I think that's
all school district.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's a week from today. We hope you come down here. We want to get, I know it's early, it's 7 in the morning, it's September 1st, but come down here, get a certificate from Mad Dog and Merrill. They're going to get something to eat and see our studio and get some M&Ms from Mino and the Mayor.
There you go.
Okay, anyway.
Now, let's talk to the man of the hour,
right?
Good friend Mike the Muscle Musel. Mike, good morning.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
He's known for the muscle because I actually shared a tent with Mike. We were in the same tent, right, Mike?
Oof.
We were.
Yeah. Yep. At Camp Navistar, Kuwait. And, went up to Iraq together a couple of times. Right, Mike?
It was a big tent.
It was a big tent.
There was like eight of us, and it's not like we were face to face.
Yes.
I was.
And they have little curtains separating them and everything.
I was in Kuwait. There's a lot of sand, and it was hot.
Yes, exactly right.
That's the Kuwait there. I was at.
That was what it is.
Wow.
But Mike here was like one of the strongest guys around. Like you can't believe, and we used to call him the Muscle. And Mike decided. Well, first of all, Mike, are you still in the guard?
No, I retired last August.
Okay.
Well, thanks for all that service. That was just what Johnny told me a lot about you. And
how many years?
I was just shy of 33.
Wow.
It was like 5 days shy of 33.
Phenomenal, Mike. Wow. Great work.
That's a career.
And so again, somehow on your bucket list, you decided you wanted to go for a 5-month hike.
2,200 miles.
Go ahead, Jim.
2,190. And Mike, tell us about that. People have talked about that. And some people, that's not, it's not as well known, I guess, right? For being in the country, it's not as well.
I had no idea it was that far, how long it took. I had no idea. I thought it was a couple of weeks.
It's 14 states you go through, Johnny.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, so you start that. I should know this. Is that starts in Georgia, right?
Right, the northern portion of Georgia. So you're only in Georgia for like a week and a half or 2 weeks. Not very long.
That's it.
Walking 10 miles a day.
Right. Yeah, many miles a day was your goal, Mike?
I always pushed for 18. 18 was always, like I did do a handful of like 20 plus days.
Oh.
But I figured out quickly, like if I did too many of those, like I was shot for a couple days. So like 18 was my top limit.
So Mike, how did this get on your bucket list? Was it a bet, challenge, or just personal goal?
I don't know. No, I had a buddy, an actual army buddy back in like the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And he graduated, he got out of the service, he graduated college. And that was the first thing on his bucket list. And that was the first time I ever heard about it. And he came back, he told me a little bit about it, and it sounded even more crazy. But then I'd say in like the last 5 or 6 years, like the popularity of the trail kind of grew a lot because of there's those two movies that came out about thru hiking. I think one was Wild and the other one was like A Walk in the Woods.
Okay.
So as it got more popular, I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about that trail. And then I started studying it, watching YouTube videos, and it just kind of snowballed into something I really had to do.
That's incredible that you did that. I mean, I've read, I just telling John.
Because you can't see the end line.
Yeah, well, no, not yet. And you're talking 14 states, 10, 12, 15 miles a day. So you just had a passion to do it. I mean, there's people who've talked about it. And like I said, it's just not as well known as just even Mount McKinley and
Mount Everest.
It doesn't have the door. And that's right here in the United States. And so you hiked through 14 states. I was reading, was it safe?
Oh, yeah. Like,
well, I read about bears and snakes, man. That is not safe to me.
I did come face to face with one black bear. It's about 15 yards away, and you just kind of, they tell you, there's always signs on what to do when you run into something. And I just did what the sign said. I just kind of stood tall and yelled at the bear, and it just kind of meandered away. I did have a handful of, I had three rattlesnakes that crossed paths with me. I had a couple copperheads that got a little squirrely. My biggest adversary, though, were mice.
Yeah.
They weren't scary until you heard them like chewing on something right close to your head.
Wow. Tell me about snakes again, Mike. What's that like when you're walking along and a rattlesnake goes right in front of you?
Oh, man. So I was like grinding up a hill for like over an hour. I'm looking at the ground like 6 feet in front of me, just kind of going up this mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm about to turn. It was a switchback. I'm about to hit the switchback. And all of a sudden, the loudest rattlesnake I've ever heard just goes off right in front of me.
Wow.
And like you just quickly snap out of it. I probably jumped 10 yards back. I'm thinking, which way am I going to run? But then you just gave it a minute. And it rattled a little bit, curled up and just kind of meandered away. And then I probably started breathing like 30 seconds later and then it kept going.
Wow. Did you have a partner or were you with a guide?
So everybody does it differently, right. But But I chose to do it solo because, like my whole life, you know, I was either responsible for a lot of people or people were responsible for me, and I just kind of, I wanted to be able to just kind of go through this journey by myself, stay in my own head, kind of stop when I wanted to and get up when I wanted to and do as many miles as I wanted to each day. And you still run into people, but I was solo the whole time.
Wow. So we're talking with
Mike Musil,
who hiked the Appalachian Trail right here in the United States.
In how many days?
How many it was like months? A total of 168 days on trail.
168 days. And this is a trail that starts in the northern part of Georgia and ends in Maine. And it obviously is through the Appalachian Mountains, but 14 different states. He's talking about some of the challenges with 15 yards from a black bear. And he had the wherewithal and the composure to read the sign. Not so sure I would have read the sign. And I would have done just the opposite. Yeah. And I would have taken off running, and that would have been the end of me. But Mike, when I was reading a little bit about the trail, and they talked about, it did talk about mice, and it was funny that it was interesting that you said that, but they said ticks were an issue. Is that thing with you or no?
Yeah. So,
you said that was the biggest
issue. It's kind of strange, because I did use bug spray with a lot of DEET later on, mm-hmm. but when, it was like, there's, you know, that northeast corner of the country is like dominant for, it's like the biggest cluster of Lyme disease area in the country. And there's a lot of concern about it. And people were, I sprayed down my shoes and my equipment and my socks and that kind of stuff. And then every day I just watched for them. And I only picked off two ticks the whole time, but I was running into hikers that it was like 5 to 10 a day they were picking off. So I don't know if it had something to do with my blood type or all the vaccinations the military gave me over the years, but for some reason, ticks just weren't interested in
Wow.
it.
Wow. All right, well, we've given our listeners plenty of reasons not to do it.
Well, I got to ask one more question about the one more thing, because I'm fascinated by snakes. Tell me about the other snakes you ran into that were, like, huge.
Oh, so, yeah, down south, they have these, they call them kink snakes or rat snakes. And they would get up to almost like 6-7 feet long, and they would just stretch out across the trail, sunning themselves. And they were pitch black; you could see them plain as day. And I would see one almost every single day. Ugh. And at first, I would just kind of like stomp my feet or flick it with my trekking poles, and it would curl up and get all ornery with me. But then someone said that they're docile; you can just step over them. So it took me a couple minutes to just step over them, but then I eventually did it the first time, and like, oh, okay. And I just walked over them.
So we're talking, okay, hiking the Appalachian Trail, and it's only 20,000 people, right? I mean, that's not like a lot of people have done that.
Per year or in total?
Yeah, no, that's total. So, wow. Yeah, every year about 3,000 people attempt it.
Okay.
And like, and then there's the numbers are all over the place, but it averages about 10-20% actually finish it.
Right.
Wow.
Right. And my friend did not finish it, and it was because, you know, what he developed along there was like this like rash, and it just, I don't know, he just couldn't finish it. So it was like a lifelong thing. I hope I haven't talked to him in a while, but I hope he completed that. But let's talk about the upside to that. Or just think about it. We gotta go to break already, but just 14 states, just a beautiful part. I mean, the terrain. Tell me about the
beauty,
the highlights.
Yeah.
Right, because that's got to be unbelievable, especially when you get more north, I would think. Well, maybe not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, that's, yeah. You're like, the one like, who, like New Hampshire, like, oh, New Hampshire and the state of Maine are
right.
Just mind-blowing.
Right.
You feel like you're on a different planet.
It is.
And we had pretty decent weather, or I had pretty decent weather.
All right.
And, you're grinding like a half hour to 3 hours up this mountain, and you get up and you just see, you can see the whole planet. Like, you can see like 20 different mountaintops and the sun coming through the clouds. It's just
Mike, hold that thought. We'll be back in 2 minutes. We want to hear more from your trip on the Appalachian Trail.
Young teacher, the subject of schoolgirl fantasy. She wants to.
So you need a new roof, but you don't know where to start? You're thinking, a roof is just a roof, right? Wrong. I'm Shannon Alberts, president of Security Libby Roofing, and I want to tell you what makes us different from all the other roofers. We are Wisconsin's oldest roofing company, having been in business since 1934. We aren't like other roofing companies who are here today, gone tomorrow. We stand behind our work. The products we use are of the highest quality. We are one of Owens Corning's elite platinum preferred contractors and have maintained that status for over 14 years. We even offer a 50-year non-prorated, fully transferable warranty. But what makes us really stand out is the quality of our workmanship. We hire only the best in their craft, and we hire around our core values. We are hardworking, we care for people, we do what's right, and we're flexible. So if you value your home and expect quality, give us a call at 920 Roofing or go to 920roofing.com.
People you know, call 920 Roofing.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected today with daytime highs approaching 78. Northwesterly winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Tonight, lows around 61. Overcast skies. Chance for scattered storms. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 71. Partly cloudy skies. Highs level off around 73. Sunday, under mainly sunny skies, 76. Monday, chance for scattered storms. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 64.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on a Friday morning. Talk with Mike Musil. Accomplished the amazing feat of walking the entire Appalachian Trail. By the way, this segment is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. The beauty of the 250 series from Pella Windows and Doors is that you have exclusive hidden screens which can stay inside the window when you're not using them. And I'll tell you what, the 250 Pella series, it's ending soon. It's an amazing deal. $188 per month if you bundle. Visit PellaWI.com today. Certain restrictions apply. Offer ends on August 31st, so you don't have a lot longer to go. Once again, we're talking with Mike Musil. Mike, the question I had to ask you, tell me again about the blind person you met on the trail doing it by herself.
So she was like a youngerish. She was probably in her late 20s. And she wasn't totally blind because I think that would be almost impossible. But she could see like shapes and stuff. And she had a guide dog, and the dog was super well trained.
Dogs are great.
Once she announced that she was going to try this, like she constantly, like there were so many people out there that wanted to assist her. So every state that she went into, there was like a crew just waiting for her to show up, and then they would help her. And it's not like they would like hold her hand and guide her, but they would like, you know, they would pick her up at spots and give her breaks and, you know, this and that. And the only times she really did struggle were the spots where like, because there were stretches. And like the Carolinas and stuff where there was a lot of blown down trees going across the trail. So you're constantly crawling over trees. If you can imagine closing your eyes and trying to crawl over a fallen tree.
Unbelievable.
That's what she was going through. And I kind of lost track of her just before the Shenandoah Park. And I haven't heard much from her, so I'm not sure if she finished.
Wow. That's amazing. Hey, Mike, Jim and I are always looking for weight loss techniques. How would this be for us?
Oh yeah. That was my most concerning thing about the whole time hiking. Like, cause I purposely put on like 10 pounds before I started, and I bet you within a week I lost that 10 pounds.
And how
like,
much did you lose?
Came off.
In total, how much did you lose?
I lost about 40 pounds, almost 45 pounds. And then I really got concerned and I really upped my eating game and I gained back 5. So I'm right. I lost about 40 pounds and that's
incredible.
And that was like, I wasn't trying to lose weight. I was eating so much of like imagine being 16 again, where you can just eat and drink whatever you wanted and you wouldn't gain a pound. That's pretty much how it was.
Unreal. Yeah. Hey, Mike. So I don't know. I think there are some people who talk about it. I still think this is one of those things that aren't known as well as it should be in the country, but I mean,
it, well, I had no idea it took 5 months.
Yeah, That's the average of six. So Mike got it done in five. But
go ahead, Mike.
It's funny. Like some parts where the trail goes right through a town, and they call them trail towns.
Right.
And then I would stop, and I would sit at the local tavern and have a burger and that kind of stuff. And I would talk to the locals, and the locals weren't even that familiar with the trail. They knew that the trail went through their town, but they didn't really even know what it was all about. So it's, so yeah, it is kind of an obscure thing unless you get wind of it.
So, like, how about the training? And there's a lot of stuff, and there's a website you can go to, just AT, right? Appalachian Trail, and I there's a lot of information on there, but if someone is listening, you were in the military, so you were in good shape to begin with, but they talk about training, about doing the trail for a couple, 3 days and just getting a feel for, wow, is this what I want to do? Did you do that or did you just go to Georgia and...
Here we go.
Yeah, I just went to Georgia and ripped the Band-Aid off.
Okay.
Yeah, 'cause there's, you're close to the trail and you can actually hike on a trail and there's nothing, like I've never done something like so hard as that trail. Like you were like constantly walking either straight up or straight down. It was so crazy how hard it was.
So you completed the trail, obviously. You did all 2,200 miles. Just a very, very small percent of people do that. Do you get something when you get to Maine? Do you get like a picture or trophy or a private jet? I mean, my God.
A pizza?
Maybe that's it. What is there a ceremonial thing when you get there?
There's always a lot of discussion on where the trail ends. So it ends at the top of Katahdin Mountain in Maine,
right?
And which is in the middle of Baxter State Park in Maine,
right?
And it's very, very secluded. So that's why there's never a lot of family and friends that are at the finish line because they would have to walk like 10, 15 miles up and down a mountain, and it is a sketchy mountain to climb. Like you have to have your hands and your feet and all kinds of stuff, but.
Wow.
Hey, so
Mike, for the last question. Oh, I'm sorry. I got one more question for you, Mike. How do you feel now?
Sure. It's like day three after a car accident.
Wow. Cause you're relatively off that trail, right? I mean, when did you finish?
I finished on the 17th and I got home on the 18th. So I've been home just sort of a week.
Dude, I think you could monetize this. I think you could go give talks and promote that. I think it's an unbelievable challenge. I mean,
it's
in the United States, I don't know, there's all these different Ironmen and all that, but that is an incredible thing. Did you camp or did you stay in the hotels? Oh, we're running out of time, Mike. Mike, I got this. I'm so fascinated by this. Did you?
I was going to say, I slept on the ground like probably 90% of the time.
Okay.
Were you ever, let me ask you this, Mike, you're the toughest guys I know. Were you ever afraid?
Only when I was like in like deep South redneck zone. I don't know if I can say that, but deep South sketchy character, close to houses. That was probably the only time I was nervous about where I slept.
Really? More about the people than you were the animals. Yeah. Wow.
Deliverance.
Yeah,
dead baby.
Well, again, you're one of the toughest guys I know. So,
I think you're a great example to the youth and to people who are like 55 years old who are getting into maybe some early retirement that are in shape. Why not put that on the bucket list? But they should call you first because you've experienced it like very few people have.
Proud of you, Mike.
You are. You're awesome.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Mike, this is so great. Congratulations on this. I know your whole family followed it all the way along, and I did too on the internet and everything like that. And I'd love to have a beer with you and get more deeper into this. Okay, buddy?
And a pizza.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Sounds...
Thank you, Mike.
Take care, Mike.
Mike Musil completed, one of the very few people that ever does it, completed the 2,200 miles, is that what it is? 2,200 mile Appalachian Trail. When we come back, Mike Clemens will be in to talk all Green Bay Packer football.
Who's getting cut?
Mino and the Mayor, back after this.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Tom Rivers. A wildfire in Louisiana prompting mandatory evacuations. It's burning in Beauregard Parish, north of Lake Charles. People are being bused to safety as fire crews fight the flames. Meantime, in the recovery effort from Maui's wildfires, there's some progress. Authorities say Maui County has just 388 people officially missing on a validated list, far less than previous numbers. County Police Chief John Pelletier pleading for concrete information.
We need your help now and each and every day, because we are only going to get through this if we're working together as one.
The current official number of dead in the wildfire remains at 115. Michigan and Ohio hard hit by severe and deadly weather, thunderstorms dropping heavy rain and flooding last night, killing at least three in the Grand Rapids area. And in both Michigan and Ohio, more than 660,000 customers without power. This is ABC News.
Did you know the best way to fix a roof leak is to prevent it from leaking in the first place? Hi, I'm Shannon Alberts, president of Security Libke Roofing. I'm excited to announce our newly trademarked Red Shield maintenance plan. You see, we don't want to just replace your commercial roof. We actually want to help extend the life of it first. We understand the roof on a commercial property is a massive investment, and we want to help you protect it. To learn more about Security Libke Roofing's Red Shield maintenance plan, go to 920roofing.com or call 920roofing today.
People you know, call 920roofing.
Hey, this is Petty Pincher Bob, and I love a good rummage sale. If you love them too, you can list your Saturday rummage sale right here on this radio station. Your 15-second Saturday rummage sale ad runs Friday all day and Saturday morning for only $50 per week. If you would like to list your Saturday rummage sale, call us now, 715-629-9501. The deadline for each week is Wednesday at noon. Operators are standing by now. Please have a valid credit card ready to go. See ya!
We're in the Civic Media Truth Booth at the Brown County Fair. We asked, and here's what you are telling us about living in the Green Bay area, attending the fair, and more.
So my name is Maddie McCoy. I grew up in Green Bay, so I've been in Wisconsin my whole life. I own my own business. Both of my grandpas were entrepreneurs. For me, doing something on my own and allowing myself to be myself and be creative, actually impact people and see that I really could do that, has been really special. And I'm really grateful I found it as young as I did. I'm proud of the fact that my grandparents were entrepreneurs and I get to do my own thing too.
Thanks for sharing your story. Listen for more on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 97.9 FM, 1590 AM, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM, 98.3 FM, and the Civic Media app. And our website, civicmedia.us, and search for Truth Booth. And watch for the Civic Media Truth Booth coming to your town soon. We're in the Civic Media Truth Booth at the Brown County Fair. We asked, and here's what you are telling us about living in the Green Bay area, attending the fair, and more.
Hi, my name is Representative Schmidt. I represent Assembly District 6. My family owns a dairy farm called Schmidt's Ponderosa, that's south of Bondwell, and I'm the third generation. I farm with my parents and two other siblings. I currently take care of the dry cows and other odds and ends on the farm. That allows me to be flexible with my position in Madison. The rural folks in the rural parts of the state, they understand their natural resources and the urgency to protect them and preserve for future generations. Urban people like the rural folks because we're very warm and generous, and that's where we kind of get lost with the partisan politics. Both sides of us at the end of the day, we love the state of Wisconsin.
Thanks for sharing your story. Listen for more on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and watch for the Civic Media Truth Booth coming to your town soon.
How long do you think you'll go out there to the NBC?
About 2 hours.
So I turned on the weather this morning, and they have one of those helpful hints that you're supposed to reduce strenuous activity. So how the hell do you do that during a football training camp?
You don't. You deal with it. It's part of the circumstances, and it's kind of sick of me, but yeah, I don't mind it. I think going through a little tough, you know, something tough is good for you.
Have you ever reconsidered night practices?
Just for you, Mike. We'll hold one later this evening, 8 o'clock.
What if I fall?
You could. It'd be great. You'd be the only one there.
Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here. Talk a little Packer football right now. You know, talked about moving the practices. Bayport the other day moved theirs to 5:30 in the morning.
They
because of that heat. Did you know that?
No,
5:30 in the morning they went out there because they're so worried about that heat when the heat index was over 100 here. Mike Clemens joining us right now, Civic Radio, covering the Packers for all the stations on the network. How's it going, Mike? Good to see you here.
Great. Great to see you guys.
And you're in
nice
studio.
Setup you got here.
Isn't this great?
They do treat us pretty well for not knowing what we're doing.
Exactly. Speak for yourself, Jim.
It's not the Mike's the guru, and he hails from Racine or Pleasant View, and covers, as Johnny said,
the, Is it Pleasant View? Mount Pleasant?
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Okay, well, close. It's Pleasant.
It has a pleasant view.
That's what I said before. Yeah. I was rudely interrupted. But Mike, what, 20 stations on the Civic Media Network, and Mike is there, covers the Packers and some other sports things. But, you know, with all the things we talked about, you know, the Green Bay Public Schools and with Art Street and all these things coming up, center stage is the Green Bay Packers. And so as people are talking about, today is the welcome back luncheon that John's not going to. And what do you think? I mean, what tell us what's going on. You cover this closer than pretty much anybody.
I had one of the coolest football moments ever yesterday, Jim. You know how they, for the last 5 or 6 years now, they've constantly played music during practice.
Yes.
Hip hop, rock, classic rock. And it's loud, and it's to sort of simulate crowd noise. And also, you know, the players like it too. It just keeps things moving along. But for whatever reason, after after Wednesday's 2 hours in the sun, like he was talking about there, and the humidity, and you know, 9,500 degrees, yesterday he went helmets and pad and pants, shorts, but it was full speed. So lots of scrimmages, right, and working out things, and this is another, you know, second to the last chance that some of these third string guys have, right. And so then all of a sudden LaFleur says, okay, all right, good work. He brings everybody together, 90 players. And the best part was the last 10 minutes, they shut off that darn music. And we could hear Jordan Love's signals. We could hear the calls from the defense. We could hear what the players were saying on the sidelines. We could hear what LaFleur was saying, what the coaches are saying. You know, like kind of like the old days. I miss that.
Yeah.
And LaFleur goes, hey, come on, let's get together. All right, what do you say we end camp with an Anders Carlson field goal? Huh? Hey, you know, now this guy's been standing over there for 20 minutes. Like, oh, what? I'm on. Right. And this is the second time they'd done that. Earlier when they had the scheduled, okay, now we're going to kick field goals. Rich Bisaccia, the special teams guru, said, wait a minute, time out. And he called like a penalty and made him go back 10 yards. Like a real game situation.
Okay.
Well, what is that?
Yeah.
No, you know, there was a penalty. Now you guys ought to go move back. And you got 5 seconds to do it. 3, 2, you know. Wow. So they set up and kick, right? So LaFleur calls for this. Hey, let's end it on a field goal. And they set up at the 50. And so all the players are getting around him, and they're cheering, they're yelling, they're squirting water on him and everything like that. And he kicks it from 50 yards out, goes up, it's high, and it's wide left.
Oh, no.
I mean, John, he's got 90 of his guys there. This is how you go out a training camp 2023 and you're wide left.
It's terrible.
So you could hear a pin drop for a second. Yeah. And then somebody like Bakhtiari goes, do over. Let's do it again.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
And so they're cheering again. And then these guys start chanting and chanting that Zombie Nation thing.
Yeah.
Like this pretty good men's choir.
Huh?
He sets up, step, plant, kick, and he made it.
Good.
Oh, cool.
Wow, high nice. Through the uprights. So
we had Chris Jackie on a couple of weeks ago. And we were talking about that, about how these young kickers, man, mentally, it's all mental. They can all do it physically, and they can't. He talked about they had one guy when he had a pulled groin or something, and just for a week they had to bring a kid in. It was down in Tampa, and he's watching the game at home, and it's like Craig Hendrick is doing the kicking.
Yeah.
The kid they brought back, he couldn't kick in the pregame. He was so, remember? He was so mentally out of it, he couldn't kick a football.
Yeah. Well, I give this kid credit, because Anders Carlson, he's there in his locker, he's not hiding.
Right.
And Chris Roth and I go over there, and we walk up to him, and we said, you know, so what about this being challenged like that in front of the team to end camp with a field goal? And here's what he said.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know it was coming, so it was a good surprise. But, I mean, it's good stuff to kind of put you in a real game situation. Yeah, I think the first one was a timeout before I kicked it, you know, regroup, hit the next one, and then the last one was a good to kind of back it up, kind of see yourself get back, because you know, last game we had the extra point that I thought was going to come back. Actually, they took it on the kickoff, but situations like that, they're going to happen in the game.
So the one at the end of practice, they put the screws to you. I mean, they were crowding you, they were squirting water on you.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just heightens up the moment, right? You get some more energy. It's fun for me, I think, just being out there in front of the guys. And you know, they're messing around, having fun with the water and everything. But for me, it's a time to lock in and try to execute a real game rep. I try to simulate everything. But when you get a little more energy, it feels a little more like Sundays and Saturdays.
But the first thing that came to my mind And you could hear this kid is, you know, very organized in his thoughts, mm-hmm. you know, about his method of kicking, about his mental, you know, where he's got to be focused on these things. And then he's working on it. And Rich Bisaccia is totally behind him. There, but, you know, at, when he after he missed that first one, there's Brian Gutekunst all alone in the end zone. Puts his hands in his pockets, just walking away. And I see him cry. This guy's got to make a decision.
Right.
This guy's got to make a decision.
Oh, that poor
so
kid.
I said to him, I said, what does it feel like, though, when you got 90 of your buddies there standing around there cheering you on and you go wide left?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say I'm my hardest critic, but definitely when I miss, I'm like, you know, I want the guys to go crazy and celebrate and end off the right way. And it's good to put the second one through, but yeah, it's definitely a morale booster when you do put it through.
Boy, 90, but then 80,000
yeah.
next week.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the other thing I get, and you guys have asked me about this on the show, is just, so how is that locker room? I mean, now it's Jordan Love's locker room, right? Well, it's everybody's locker room. But I thought this was some great insight from this really bright number 88, Luke Musgrave, who's going to start at tight end for him, right? And sometimes it's not always the quarterback that's making this mistake. Sometimes it's the tight end. And so we asked Luke Musgrave, why did this play break down? And listen to what he had to say.
I didn't motion, which is kind of an integral part of the play. And I was kind of messing up. So, yeah, as he should have got on me. But I think that's the beauty of having such a good quarterback like Jordan is, especially as a young guy, he's a guy that's going to correct you and get you right. And then he's going to come back and move on like a mature quarterback, like the mature quarterback he is. So, yeah, I really appreciate it. I know it's probably a frustration dealing with a rookie like me that's taken so many reps. But I got a lot, but yeah, there's stuff that I can't mess up on, like that motion.
Well,
he's a mature quarterback,
yeah. Right?
You know,
love hearing that.
And he'll come right. back to me.
Yeah,
that's what you got. That's the positive you got going on.
Did you see Hard Knocks this week?
I did.
Okay, did you see when Randall Cobb was talking to the wide receivers for the Jets?
I did.
And he said, "Guys, let me tell you something. If you screw up, if you screw up in the meetings, you screw up in practice." Number eight is not going to throw the football to you.
Yeah.
Trust me on this. He's going to stop throwing you the football.
He's going to lose it.
He's going to he's going to lose his bleep.
Yeah.
Pretty soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's the difference.
That's
right?
Encouraging. Yeah.
Difference. Now, coming to town are the Seattle Seahawks this afternoon. Pete Carroll and Green Bay's John Schneider, longtime GM there, who's part of the organization here under Ted. Right.
Oh yeah.
And Schneider and Goody probably going out for a beer or two tonight to talk about the stories. But Pete Carroll went through this when they traded Russell Wilson to the Broncos. And listen to what Pete Carroll has to say a year after that trade.
All being football guys and football players, every year when you come back, it's a new life. You know, it's like a whole life starts all over again. And we clicked into that mode coming out of last season with a really good feeling about the future. The players that have been with us and the guys that lead us and speak for us, they felt strongly that we were on the move. And maybe it was because of there was some unexpected success last year, and okay, now we can build on that and go. Whatever the reason is, attitude has been really on it. I mean, I've said to you guys 100 times now about this group, their mentality, their approach to the game, how they're looking at it, what they bring every day. The attitude and the mentality is so powerful because right now, attitude's everything.
Sometimes when you rebuild and bring in the younger players, not only faster, they're inexperienced, right? But it also changes the attitude.
No question.
And that's coaching. That Tubler Rasa just, hey, look, yesterday was yesterday. There's a new sheriff in town, and you got to move forward. He is a motivator, though, right? I mean, Pete Carroll. I'm sure, our coaches as well. But that's great to hear.
Because I think there's some things, too, Jim, that Matt LaFleur has picked up from Pete Carroll under his time with Dan Quinn, who worked at the Seahawks when they were together with the Falcons.
Right.
And so now you see LaFleur go full throttle this camp, right?
Right. Yeah.
Two joint practices. Let's bring in Peyton Manning to the organization. Let's do this. Let's do that. And so Jordan Love, I asked him, so what are your takeaways from this first training camp with you as the starting quarterback?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's awesome.
guys coming in like Peyton Manning, it's awesome to just be able to hear from him, whatever he has to say, and get him around the team. But, I mean, there's been a lot of great moments throughout camp. I think just the biggest thing is the team coming together and bonding through it all and becoming a closer, you know, unit is the biggest thing. I think that's something we've accomplished. But, you know, there's been a lot of great messages from everybody, and I think, you know, each player just has to kind of take what they hear and put it in their own game.
Man, I'm pulling for him.
A lot of people are.
I just like him as a human being.
I just don't think the previous quarterback read this market right. I'm telling you, and I think people are really ready for this change.
I have a feeling Goody's in your camp. You know what I'm saying?
But I still think it's absolutely amazingly ironic how the Favre situation, the Rodgers situation, how it went full circle. I just can't believe it. Well, I know. Yeah. Why?
But how about that backup quarterback? I was telling Johnny.
Clifford?
Oh, I love him.
I mean, if he could be the next Matt Flynn.
Yes, exactly.
And Jordan can, you know.
And he got that confidence.
Right, yeah. Behind you.
And because I'm sure with Brent Huntley and some of those guys.
Yeah.
If the starting quarterback got hurt, season's over.
Right.
I mean, it really was.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You had a wish and a prayer, but it basically was over.
And here's the other thing. I mean, there's all these guys that have been in there a year, maybe. It's only been 5 weeks and 15 practices. And some of those third string guys, they started coming along this week. And not just because of a sense of urgency because it's the last preseason game. This is maybe the third or fourth time they got to run a play. And even Jordan Love, there was once practice earlier this week, a couple of bad exchanges with Josh Myers, the center quarterback exchange. But in this one practice, Christian Watson over the middle, underneath the safeties. Romeo Dobbs down the sidelines. Aaron Jones, 35 yards downfield. These are all touchdown plays in practice the other day. It's like, it's starting to click.
That Heath, who nobody heard of before the start of camp?
Well, I've got news for you.
Okay.
I started talking to him about the first week of camp.
Because okay.
I saw him all through the OTAs. I'm like, this dude can glide.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah. Awesome. Oh, by the way, Jaden Reed.
Yeah.
Oh, that's such a smart kid. I give me an hour to talk about Jaden Reed, number 11.
And I really hope they go with their tight ends. I know they invested heavily in the draft and everything, but I just think when the tight ends are a big factor for the Green Bay Packers, I don't care how far back you want to go to Paul Kaufman or whomever, that offense clicks better than at any other time.
Yeah, Tucker Kraft, big, strong kid, not quite up to where they'd like him to be right now. But, boy, they're all in on Musgrave.
They had
Musgrave on another jet sweep the other day.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. At about 270 pounds, yeah. Rumbling around. We're gonna keep you back for one more second. We have one minute left.
Right. You said that LaFleur gathered 90 players, but it comes down to what, 63? Or what?
Well, we got practice 53, oh, 53. And then you got extended practice. It's actually, it comes down to 69 players.
Okay.
So they'll have some kind of a job after next Tuesday afternoon.
I want to talk to you about kind of who's on the bubble. What do you think if you were the GM?
Sure.
Yeah, I covered the Packers for a lot of years. That was always the worst day. I'm just going to say it personally. We're like a bunch of vultures out in the parking lot waiting to see guys coming out carrying boxes.
That's why they built that fence just for you now.
I think so. Yeah. We'll be back with more of Mike Clemens talking Packer football right here. Mine and the Mayor back after this.
Replacing the past, we've been cast out of. My name is Leah, and I'm a single mom living in Milton, Wisconsin. I have two kids with severe peanut allergies and asthma. Before Badger Care, I struggled with affording the copays for their life-saving medications. Even with the best insurance available through my full-time job, the EpiPens had a $100 copay, and we needed them for school and home for each of my kids. There was even a point when my daughter had a severe allergic reaction, and I strongly considered not calling 911 due to the cost of the ambulance. I'm grateful that the administrations of President Joe Biden and Governor Tony Evers are working together to give us the tools to improve our health care. Now I no longer have to choose between putting food on the table and providing affordable, life-saving health care for my children. To learn more about how the Inflation Reduction Act and other investments are helping rural communities and families like mine, visit www.abetterwisconsininstitute.org/rural.
Mino and the Mayor.
Johnny brought in a coffee maker.
Krieg. Keurig.
Yeah.
Keurig.
Keurig. Yeah. You don't even know how to say it. It doesn't know how to operate.
I know how to use it.
So no, I don't know about that. But was like, he goes, go make some coffee. I go back. He didn't really say that. I said, I'll go make some coffee. I went back there. I just couldn't get, I don't know, it didn't work. And I came in here because all this all over my shirt. Because where the hell were you?
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. And on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast today with a high of 78. Winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies again. Tonight's light chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows around 61. Chance for scattered storms tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 71. A blend of clouds and sun. Mainly sunny skies and calm Sunday with daytime highs approaching 73. 76. Chance for scattered storms Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 64.
Where the fans own the team. This is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Hey, welcome back. Mine or the Mayor here, 97.9 FM, 1590 AM. Winding down a Friday with Mike Clemens, who does all the sports Packer coverage for Civic Media, based out of Mount Pleasant. Not Pleasant View, but that, you know, you might want to talk to the elders there. Change the name.
Yeah, but, you know, this time of the year, I'm pretty much got to start paying Green Bay taxes because yeah, I'm here every day. So much. So, yeah.
Actually, I think Mount Pleasant is where Coach LaFleur is from in Michigan.
It is.
It is, yeah. It is, yeah. The home of Central Michigan, the Chips.
It is.
I'm still, you know what? I will say this about him, though. He must have been a tough nut when he was younger because he's not, what is he, 5'9", about 180 maybe?
No, maybe. Yeah, you're right. He's about 5'9", because he's just an inch or two shorter than me.
He played football at a pretty high level over there. I mean, Saginaw Valley and the Ferris States and the Grand Valleys.
There was a clip of him at quarterback, you know, in college.
Yeah.
And he was about the 35-yard line. He rolling around, set, plant, throws the ball to a guy named Ravel Martin.
Yeah, Ravel Martin.
And since he took over Green Bay, they've taken that down. I don't know if he had that
no kidding.
Swept off the YouTube or whatever like that. But yeah, I love that clip. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, that is tough football in that conference.
This is what I'm doing at 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm searching everything on the internet for dudes.
I've been that guy, too. Well, winding it down here, Mike, what do you see happening over the next few days?
They're going to start Jordan Love and the first team offense tomorrow because there's things they want to see. And they want to try and get as much of that timing down as they can.
I'm almost surprised he hasn't played more, to be honest with you, preseason. Going into your first year. And I know there's that the injury factor and whatever. But, you know.
But listen, plenty of players, including Jair yesterday. We talked to Jair Alexander. He says those practices, joint practices they had with the Patriots were intense.
Yeah, I know.
So they got some intense sims. Now, Rashawn Gary's not going to go.
Right.
And they won't say if he'll be ready for the Bears game. But it's amazing how fast he's not only recovered, but how fast he is off the edge right now. He's very tough.
They need him.
Yeah. So on your offensive line, I think Zach Thomas won that right tackle job. Bakhtiari was out there yesterday. But he's not practicing much, which makes me concerned about...
You know what? God bless him. He's one of the best in the business when he was healthy. He reminds me of the Brian Bulaga saga.
Yes.
It's like it's almost like week to week, year to year, is he going to play? Oh, he's out. He's
good analogy. Good analogy.
Are you serious about that? I mean, that guy could get... What are you saying about... He could get cut?
No.
Who, Bakhtiari? No. I'm just saying as far as once you get those injuries like that, know when he's going to play and when he's not.
Right. That's all. They're concerned if he's going to be ready on some of these game days. He managed to get there last year. And, I mean, it's like even Bakhtiari said himself, he says, it's not my decision. It's not the doctor's decision. It's the knee's decision.
Yeah.
And whatever shape it is on the morning after. So, I think this Rasheed segment, Walker is going to back him up.
This segment is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors. The world through your window. If you bundle the 250 series patio door and double hung windows with exclusive hidden screens, $188 a month. Check them out. Visit PellaWI.com today.
Mike, we love Pella. They're a great sponsor of ours.
I know Gina.
So. Okay, right.
They're nice.
That's a great company and great windows. I have them. Anyway, tell us more about this whole.
Well, I want to know about the running back situation because that Lewis is too good to cut. And I think he's too...
Wilson?
Good. I mean, Wilson. And I think
Emmanuel Wilson, number 31.
And I'm afraid that he has showed too much good tape to expose to waivers.
To sit on the practice
squad. What do you think?
I see. There was a time there last year where they only had two running backs on the depth.
I know.
And they love all these wide receivers. Right?
I know.
And as you know, so if you need kind of a fullback, H-back type guy, you got Josiah DeGuara back there. They're a little bit short at tight end right now in terms of experience. I don't know. I'm not sure they know until the end of tomorrow's game.
I wish they'd never gotten rid of Jamal Williams.
Yeah. Well, I think that ends up being a money thing.
I guess, but 17 touchdowns last year with another team this year. He was a perfect complimentary back if anybody was banged up.
Went from the Lions and now to the Saints.
Right. That,
but he's collecting a nice check.
I know.
Every town he goes to. So at running back, here the other guy who was having a great camp was Tyler Goodson, but he jacked up his shoulder about 10 days ago. And he was working out yesterday. He's gotten rid of this sling that he had. But he was that close because of his returns that they could use him as a backup.
I will remember that play, and I've always had shoulder injuries in my playing days, 100 million. And as soon as he got up from that play in that game, I thought, oh, no, he separated his shoulder, he dislocated. That's just the way he was holding his arm.
Yeah.
And in the NFL, if you got a bad shoulder, you're not on the football field.
Yeah. No, you spotted it, Mino. So then over on the defensive side, this situation for me, I don't think has changed, and it's that who's going to play safety next to Darnell Savage. And so they started out camp with Rudy Ford, who played back there last year as a backup to Adrian Amos. Amos signed with who else? The New York Jets.
Right.
Right? And they're just trying to help Russ Ball get this money off, to move on, because they're going to re-sign some of these guys in a year or two. But the next thing is they got this Anthony Johnson. Now, he got roughed up the other day, but he's a rookie that they drafted. And then it's Jonathan Owens, with the wife Simone, who they brought up from the Texans. Now, he had a nice play in camp the other day, deflected pass. But none of those three guys, to me, has really flashed or stepped up. So it looks like for now, they're just going to settle on Rudy Ford. But that's the spot where I think after Labor Day weekend, Goody might be able to pick up, another guy from another team that's deep in the secondary and bring in some experience.
What about Nixon? How's he doing?
He's been so-so.
Yeah, we're expecting big flashes from him this year.
And he's been hurt.
Banged up, I know.
He's been banged up. So I don't know if he's going to be – I saw him out there taking some reps the other day, but he's been, on the injury list as well. But they're counting on him.
I know.
Both their punt and kick return.
I mean, he was spectacular last year.
Outstanding. Well, yeah.
I mean, the best we've had in how many years?
Well, he was leading the league by the end of the season in the returns.
Well, that's some good stuff coming, isn't there?
It's a fun time of year. It's great to have so much talent.
Sometimes you get, it's like, well, we got to keep him because there's nothing else better. They have a good talent pool, and this has got to be tough on the coaches, right?
So listen, those of us that cover the team, I think is a pretty good group. We're objective. We're challenging the team in terms of their decisions. And at the same time, we're not necessarily going through the garbage, but walking off the practice field, I heard a couple of longtime beat reporters saying, I'm actually kind of pulling for these guys to beat the Bears in that opener in Chicago, because wouldn't there be anything better than to listen to Chicago sports talk and that love beats the Bears at Soldier Field in this first game?
I agree.
That would be the best two-hour drive home.
And you know what? I know a lot of Packer beat writers or whatever you want to call it, and there's no love loss sometimes between them and the Packers with some of the coaches over the years and some of the players. Right. So this is cool. And
I'm like, some exciting. Of those knuckleheads in the press box at Soldier Field, too.
Oh, my gosh. I'm with you.
We're glad you're our guy with Civic Media to cover that. We look forward to having you as a regular here. We'll see you at the game. But, this is a big, big deal to our community, right? And you're covering it. We want to have you on here. Enjoy this.
Appreciate you being on your show, guys.
Yeah, well,
enjoy your omelets at the Bay Motel.
I will.
It's a great place.
I will.
Mike, thanks very much, buddy.
Thank you, brother.
Appreciate everything. Look forward to a great season with you.
Thank you.
We're wrapping it up here on a Friday morning. Jim, it's been a fun week.
It has been a great week, Johnny. Next week we have another great week.
Yeah, we got big stuff coming up.
All right. Have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Mino the Mayor back in Monday morning. See ya.
Get it right.
I'm coming.
Hi, Mark Tauscher.
Ah, Tau.
house. You have mosquitoes in here.
It's like an insect zoo right now at my house. Here comes that wasp again. Incoming.
Shoo, you need Pella's 250 series of windows with exclusive hidden screens, protecting you from nature.
Yes, please. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin to the rescue.
Get a 250 series patio door and 8 double hung windows with hidden screens as low as $188 per month. PellaWI.com. Certain restrictions apply. See showroom for details. Offer ends 8/31/23.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.